or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, March the 29th, 1991. Passover week and teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dick Mills is the speaker of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Brother Dick Mills,
praise
blessings
God.
To you.
Let me love on you. Come on, we're going to love on you. Get away from that microphone right there. You're my kind of guy. Touch the person next to you and just say, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. I've been watching this audience all morning, and there are 7 people that haven't smiled the whole time you've been here. I need to tell you, this is not a mortuary, it's a sanctuary. I got out of Bible school, first revival I had is in Cortez, Colorado, and it was pinto bean harvest time, and we just landed at a time when everybody's working 14 hours out in the fields. And our services began at 9 o'clock every night. And here I am, fresh out of school, full of enthusiasm, you know. And after people have been working 14 hours and then come to church, our theme song was When the Saints Come Dragging In, you know. So everybody was dead tired by the time I got up to preach. And I was, you know, trying to get them all excited and everything. I'm just trying to get smiles out of everybody. And I said, come on, folks, show me your teeth. And one farmer took them out and showed them to me. You know? So that was a little sneaky. But 3 people that haven't smiled all morning just snickered then. So I got 5 to go. I want you to turn to the person on the other side of you and just say, I don't care what your neighbors are saying about you. I like you. Would you do that? I don't know if you enjoy Greek and Hebrew word studies, but I've got 365 of them here. It's a daily devotion, and it's a minute and a half jump cable. Now, there's some people really like word studies. Others are turned off by it. But today's was, we will give ourselves continually to prayer, and the word give ourselves continually happens to be one word, and it is an energized endurance, stamina, high level of perseverance. In other words, it's a word that says, hey, let's get serious. Let's don't just say prayers. Let's pray prayers. Pat Robertson says, Dick, Dee Dee has this by her bedstead, and he says, she wakes up before I do, and she starts reading, and she starts getting happy and poking me. Wait a minute, says, hey, you got to hear this, you know. So he says, you're getting quoted around our house. And I says, let's keep that program going. I appreciate that. We've got a blue light Kmart special on this one. We're knocking it from 9 down to 7. We also have one, How to Have a Happy Marriage, with a chapter in here on how to minister to your husband's ego. And most ladies I've met do not want to minister to their husband's ego. They want to squash it, you know. So one lady said, I don't understand my husband. He struts around the house conceited like he. She says, I think he's waiting for a vacancy in the Trinity the way he struts around, you know. And we got a chapter here for ladies called FTB, Just Feed the Brood, you know. We also have a chapter here that I got from doctors on how to understand the chemistry in your wife, the hormonal high, the hormonal low, what happens when estrogen cuts off, what happens when progesterone cuts off. And the last 5 days, PMS, guys, you're in bad trouble. I want you to know that. I mean, you come home, and she looks at you, and you say, what's wrong? She says, shut up. Finally, she says, look, if you really loved me, you'd have married somebody else. You know, that's her response. I've got one tape. We met it at Jack Hayford's church. It's called The Run to Freedom. And if you know Jack Cambridge Church, it's not what you call a running church. But the Lord gave me three verses that if the people make two laps around the church, they could break it with alcohol, tobacco, drugs, and also suicide and a whole bunch of other stuff. And after we'd had about three or four runs around the church, then he got up and he said, well, Dick, this is another one. He said, we're going to have everybody in this church that's stubborn. Get up and run. Well, there's 4,000 people. 2,000 are up trying to make two laps around the church. And Jack was blown away. He said, that's half my staff running around out there. So it's a hilarious tape. I want to just for a few minutes share with you, because I want to get to ministering, what's involved in getting a word from the Lord. You don't have to be perfect to get a word from the Lord. You don't have to be a walking success story. You don't have to be in charge of your own destiny. You don't have to have it all together. God has a word for you, and it's a word that's capable of changing your whole life. I'd like to have you turn to Judges 6:14, and I want to show you a man that got a word. Judges 6, 11 and 12, really. I want to show you a man that got a word. Could I tell you flat out, he didn't have anything going for him. I mean, this guy didn't have anything going for him. Judges 6, 11 and 12. It's page 254 if you have the same Bible I have. He's sitting under this oak tree, this angel. Now, in verse 11, the angel's there, but he's not visible. And I wanted you to see one big sentence that sets the whole stage for this particular scenario. Gideon threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. That was the climate that he was functioning in, a climate of fear and timidity, borderline cowardice. Now the angel in verse 12 appears to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. If you have a New International Version that says the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. If you've got an Amplified Bible sitting on your lap that says, the Lord is with you, men of great valor, courage, and strength. Book of Judges covers a 400-year period in which a nation is displayed here at their best and at their worst. At their best. And they went through this cycle 10 different times with 10 different judges. At their best, they're in covenant relationship, and it's like a marriage. God's married to him. Here's Israel, the size of the state of Arkansas, surrounded by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and the Egyptians, and they all want to pounce on him, just like they want to pounce on him right now. And God says, as long as you're in covenant relationship, not one of your enemies will set one big toe on your property. They were protected. But people being the way they are, as they prospered, they got careless. They became affluent. They became opulent. They became bored. Their ways of worship, they lost interest in. They began to get curious in the practices of heathen idols. And somewhere along the line in this spiritual declension, they looked down and started worshiping the idols of the other countries. Now, for Israeli to bow to an idol is the same as committing adultery. Idolatry and adultery. In fact, God even called it spiritual whoredom. And the minute they turned to idolatry, the covenant was broken. He was no longer responsible to protect them. And their enemies came in and captured them and brutalized them, traumatized them. At this particular time, they were conquered nationally by the Philistines and locally by the Midianites. Now, the Philistines took all their farm implements away, and for an Israeli farmer to even be able to work his field, he had to go to a Philistine warehouse, requisition some farm equipment. They would assign some farm equipment to a couple of their soldiers. The soldiers would carry it down to the man's field and stand guard all day while he's working his field. And then when the sun went down, the Philistine soldiers would take the farm equipment back and stash it away. And their mindset was, if we let these Israelis have farm equipment, they'll turn them into weapons of war. They'll come at us. So they were really brutalized by the Philistines. But the thing that traumatized them was the pain and cruelty of the Midianites. They would wait till everything got ripe. And they had six things getting ripe at the same time. The olive, the wheat, and the corn, the barley, and the rye, and the grapes. And they would actually come in during a six-week period and burn their food supply down. And when you burn the food supply down, that means for the next year you don't have a food supply. So here's the farmhouse. Right behind the farmhouse is a barn with some domestic animals and some implements. And then right behind the barn is a narrow strip of land and a forested area. The forested area happened to be an oak forest in this verse 10. And the angel comes through the forest this way, and Gideon comes out this way. And here he is in this little narrow strip of land where there's a wine press, an olive press, and a threshing floor. And he, out of fear of the Midianites, is trying to get a meal. Willie Nelson's hit song is "Help Me Make It Through the Night." Gideon wasn't even worried about getting through the night. He's trying to figure getting through the next meal. And in a climate of timidity, cowardice, and fear, the angel comes up. "You're a mighty warrior." And you could put Gideon in one of four categories: a wimp, a nerd, a square, or a mama's boy. You know, maybe all four. And the angel says to him, "Hey, big daddy, let's go smash him. Go, team, go," you know. Gideon's looking around saying, "I wonder who he's talking to." The lady that got so tired of her husband being a first-class coward said to him one day, "Are you a man or a mouse?" He says, "Don't wave a piece of cheese under my nose to find out." Could be a horrible discovery, you know. So you got an interesting question. How could a holy angel from a holy heaven, from a holy God, bring a holy word by the Holy Spirit to a first-class coward and tell the man that he's a hero? Well, that's why I'm here, and that's why I've got a piece of paper that says a word from the Lord just for you. Jesus said that embodied in every promise is its own fulfillment, the seeds of its own fulfillment. The sower goes out and sows. He says, it's the word. Puts it in the ground, waters it, fertilizes it, cultivates it, brings it along. He said, that word that he's planted is going to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. So I want you to listen very closely. When the angel says to Gideon, "You're a mighty man of valor," at that particular moment, he wasn't. But listen closely. He was on his way to becoming exactly that. Just like you're on your way to becoming a manifested son of God. You're on your way. And he wasn't the mighty, you know, the mighty warrior at the time, but he was on his way to becoming that. And I want to tell you something. The word that he got was the thing that caused him to become that. Because if you read the next three chapters, Gideon went out and had four victories right in a row. And so the Lord gives you a promise. It may not be where you are right now, but it's where you're going to be before it's all over. Hey, if I had a wish, I wished I could stick you on fast forward and move you 5 minutes before the second coming of Jesus and let you see yourself having overcome the flesh, the world, the devil, Ted Koppel, Phil Donahue, and Oprah Winfrey. Hallelujah. Man, if you could see yourself 5 years before the resurrection, you've worked your way through your fears, your lust problems, your greed, your anxieties, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your jealousies, you know, your insecurity. Oh! He says he's going to come for a glorious church. So just before the coming of the Lord, you're going to be glorious. He says he's going to be admired in his people. So you're going to be admirable. Admirable. He says he's going to be magnified in his church. So you're magnificent. You and I make a fatal mistake of basing our spirituality on where we are right now. God's more interested in what you're becoming than what you are right now. Because he's working on you. I want you to listen closely. Luke 1:45 says there's going to be a performance of all those things that were promised you by the Lord. Say it with me. There shall be a performance of all those things promised you by the Lord. Now, I want you to stay with me. Listen. I want you to say first the promise leads to the performance. Now, between the promise and the performance, there's an interval of time that's called the problem. We're going to do a Wheel of Fortune. I don't have a red Buick to give you away, but we're going to spell out the problem, and I want you to spell it with me, and I want to see how fast you people are. Because when I was in Louisiana recently, by the time I got to the second letter, they had it figured. We're talking about here's the promise, here's the performance, here's the problem. Okay, we're going to spell it out. The difference of time between the promise and the performance. Say it with me. P. A. T. I. E. N. C. E. They're faster in Louisiana, I can tell you that. Patience. Grandma's from Indiana, and she used to say, patience is a virtue. Catch it if you can. Seldom found in women and never found in man. How many of you wives are married to husbands where you can say amen to that one without getting yourself in trouble? Gideon is going to be a performance of those things that are promised you. It's going to be a performance of those things that are promised you. Our word Jehovah happens to be anglicizing or anglicizing a Hebrew word that's Yahweh, because they didn't have vowels. Their word for God was the tetragrammaton, YHVH. Well, how do you pronounce YHVH? So they had to put little vowel points in there and make it Jehovah, Jehovah. And that definition of Jehovah is the self-existing being who never had an origin and does not have a termination. He is who was and is to come. The only word that you can use to describe the God we serve as one without origin or termination is the word eternal. He lives in eternity. You and I are creatures of time. Our time comes in three components. We have one component called the past. We can reflect on the past and relate to it because of nostalgia, sentiment, and memory. Golden. We can relate to the present because we have our five senses. The future is closed to us, but it's not closed to God. He's in the future because he's eternal. And that's why Isaiah 65:24 can easily say, hey, before you call, I'll answer. While you're not speaking, I'll hear. He's out there in eternity. The man comes to his pastor and he says, pastor, it's all over for me next Friday. And the pastor says, what do you mean it's all over for you next Friday? He said, well, factory I've worked for 15 years is shutting down and leaving town. I'm out of work next Friday. Not only that, I'm two payments behind on the car. So he says, I'm losing my car next Friday. And he says, I'm five payments behind on the house. So I'm losing the house next Friday. He said, pastor, next Friday, everything ends for me. The pastor grabs to him and, you know, grabs him and said, hey, man, don't worry about next Friday. God is already there. Hallelujah. Find the person next to you and say, don't worry about next week's paycheck. God's already there. Would you do that? Don't worry about next week's paycheck. Don't worry about next month's rent and income tax. God's already there. Hey, guys, don't worry about your income tax refund. Your wife's already got it spent. I don't know. So when the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor, but he was on his way to becoming that. Question and answer. Abraham, can you count the stars? His response was, no way, Jose. Can you count the sand at the seashore? And his response to that is, nobody can count the sand at the seashore. Or it's okay, Abraham, I just want to tell you, that's how many babies you're going to have. You're the father of the faithful. Hey, gang, this guy's 90 years old. Hasn't had one kid. The Lord's calling him the father of the faithful. Sarah's in the tent. She's 75. She's laughing. She says, that's got to be the joke of the century. I haven't used my doll for 25 years. What's this baby? She gave up on Lydia Pinkham back in the 40s. You know, what's with the babies? We were at a fertility clinic. There's only one Christian fertility clinic in the United States. It's Dr. William Cooper in Easton, Pennsylvania. We ministered to his staff. And I'm 69 and my wife's 63. And we went in there and he described this in vitro fertilization and showed us how the two of us could have a baby. Anybody can have a baby. But there's a way to do it. Tip uterus, you know, low sperm count. He says, man, that's no problem. You know, I'm looking at my wife and she's looking at me and I'm trying to think, are we into this? And, you know, we could go in the Guinness Book of Records. And all of a sudden, my wife says, I think I love playing with my grandchildren. But Abraham is 90 and 75, and he gets the word he's going to be the father of the faithful. So can you see what happens when you get a promise? I want to close with an illustration. We're going to start ministering them. I'm flying San Francisco to Ontario, California on a United commuter. Flight attendants coming down the aisle, big tray full of orange juice, giving everybody orange juice. I'm 8D, non-smoking. Flight attendant comes up, stops and looks at me and starts staring at me with no expression on her face, and I find it very intimidating. Have you ever had anybody just come along and get their face in your face and just look at you? Say anything. Right away, I think my hair's messed up. My tie's crooked. I got food particles hanging out my teeth. I got goobers hanging out of my nose. I'm looking at my shoes to see if they match. I heard about a pastor who always came to church late. One time he walked on the platform and he had a blue shoe and a gray shoe. Everybody was laughing. I hear you standing up there, one blue shoe and one gray shoe. And he looks at it. Don't laugh, folks. I got another pair of them just like it, you know. I'm saying, what's this chick? Finally, said, I know you. You're Dick Mills. He said, 6 years ago, you came to our church, First Baptist Church, Benicia. She says, you gave me five scriptures on the salvation of my husband. She says, Dick, he got saved last October. She said, I want to tell you that for those years, waiting for him to get saved. She said, those promises were like a support system. She said, he was living a rotten life, but his conversion's been glorious. And she said, I would hear the horror stories coming out about how he was living. And our town was too small. Our children were scandalized. Our family was embarrassed. She said, I would go to these scriptures and literally weep over them and just wonder, when is it ever going to happen? But you know what? I'd take fresh courage, and I'd know that those were words from the Lord. She said, your wife wrote down there, First Baptist Church, Benicia, California, wrote the date. And she said, I have literally bathed that piece of paper with tears. And it was like it was the only sign I had when I was looking at him wondering if it was ever going to happen. In fact, she says, I have the piece of paper up in the galley. She said, it has been bathed with tears, wet with tears. Would you like to see it? Yeah, I really would. She turns around and walks up the aisle and says, don't go away. At 30,000 feet between Fresno and Bakersfield, I wasn't really going anywhere, you know. While this lady's gone up the aisles, my mind went back to Pittsburgh. I saw the gospel there at a banquet, and there was an Italian lady in a green dress, and the Lord said, I want you to call that lady from that table over there, bring her up here, and announce instant salvation to every member of the family. Right now. So I called the lady up, and I gave her the verses, and she said, Dick, I have 14 aged children in rebellion. I have a husband that's just giving me fits. She says, I'm the only Christian in the family. I said, well, that's all going to say, that's all going to change. And one of them was Luke 19:9. It says, today salvation's come to this house. How many of you would like to have Jesus walk into your house and say, salvation's coming to your whole family right now today? Praise God. What a word. Well, this Italian lady goes over there and gets her Bible and gets wired. Her husband, I met him the next night. He told me all about it. I don't know if you've ever seen in the house, an Italian housewife get wired. But they said her fingernails extended and became fangs. Her eyes dilated. She had flame coming out of her nostrils. She went home and lined her family across the kitchen up and held this piece of paper. And she said, I want to tell you something. You're all going to get saved. You might as well surrender right now. One of her teenage kids' smart mouths said, how do you know? She says, because I got a word. That's why. She says, look, honey, if it's going to happen, let's get it over with. Next night, I'm at Jimmy Lyons' Full Gospel Chapel in Greencastle, and comes in, throws his arms around me. He says, hey, Mill, she walked in and just pronounced it, and it happened. I can't explain why one lady gets a verse fulfilled in 24 hours, and the other lady takes like 5.5 years. I can understand Mary getting a word, and 9 months later, it gets a fulfillment. I can understand Joseph getting a word when he's 18, taking care of his father's sheep, and not seeing it realized till he's 30 in Egypt. I can understand Jesus at 35 AD telling him the city's going to go in 65 AD when it happened. Weeks and the fulfilling of it has to be a result of God at work in your life. And all promises are conditional, but I don't deal with conditions because I don't want to get into legalism. Seeing people get so structured in formulas that it finally gets down to the equation. If you'll do this, God will do that. And I don't want to put God in the box. I want to take my hands off of the whole thing and say, God, I know that verse is going to be fulfilled. Here I'm in Milwaukee with this Catholic church that just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on the whole church, and I called a lady out of there and I gave her a word for the salvation of her family. She says, I've got 12 kids. The youngest one's 3, the oldest one's 21. And I just gave her my address. I said, well, all 12 of them may not come in at once, but they're going to come in one by one. And every year that they came in, she'd write me a card. And finally, after the 7th year, she said, the last one is in and full of the Holy Ghost and going into the ministry. Hallelujah. So I want you to say it. There will be a performance of those words promised you by the Lord. I can't tell you how much time it takes, but I can tell you one thing that you can bank on. Numbers 23:19 says that God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? Has he not spoken it? Will he not make it good? I can tell you something else you can bank on. I can't call it's involved between the time you get a promise and its fulfillment. But I can tell you something you can bank on. Habakkuk 2:3 says the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, you just wait for it. It's going to come to pass. It's not going to delay. And I can tell you something else you can bank on. It's Ezekiel 12:28, and it just says none of my promises will be delayed any longer. But the word that I've given you shall come to pass. Let's take the hands of the people next to us, and let's just believe some beautiful things are going to happen. Say these words with me. In the name of Jesus, I release a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of faith, a healing word, a miracle word, a prophetic word, a discerning word, and an interpreting word. In the name of Jesus, I release a love word, a joy word, and a peace word. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, sensitize Dick Mills. Now hold the spine of your Bible up and just say, when I hear a promise that speaks to me, I'm going to claim it for myself. Isaiah 27:5 says, take hold of my strength. So all you have to do when you hear a good word is say, I'll take it. Let's practice, shall we? I'll take it. The Lord gave me a word for the dear doctor here on rejuvenation. Now, listen closely. It's not second childhood, but it's rejuvenation. What's his first name, then? Bill. Listen to Psalms 103, verse number 5. Every one of you can take it. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Everybody say, Doc, your youth is going to be renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's say it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen to Job. Job 33:25. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's. Dermatologists say the pure skin is the skin you find on a baby. Listen, your flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and you shall return to the vigor of your youth. Hallelujah. He is not going to sit home in a rocking chair clipping coupons. He's not asking for a rocking chair and a pension. This guy's going to be out there claiming mountains. Hallelujah. How many of you say, hey, I'll take that? Okay, Glenn, pick out somebody, would you? Could one of you people in the back get me a glass of ice water with some ice in it? 2, 4, 6 ladies in the second seat. Second lady. Okay, please stand up. And let me have your name.
Dottie.
Ward gave me a picture. Greeks had two words for knowledge. One is gnosko and the other is oida. And in the Latin, gnosko is audio, what you hear. And oida in the Latin is video, which is see. And so the word oida in the Greek New Testament is perception. And you'll see it a lot where Jesus was perceiving their thoughts. Every time the disciples had a little discussion going on, or every time the Pharisees, every time his enemies came to try to trap him, it says Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he used the word oida. He could look right into the situation. And this oida perception dwells in you. And the Lord, there's a lot of things he wants to show you. It's just a matter of cooperating with him, really. And he gave me a oida. He gave me a perception of some professional women. Women who are secretaries and office managers and also secretaries to chief executive officers, high-end company, in the company corporation structure. And they were sitting in a circle, and the room was dark, and they all had chains on their hand. And you had been invited to come in and talk to them. And when you came, these are professional women, and they're all sitting there complaining about their sorry marriages and their lot in life and their miserable family life and their frustrations and their lack of fulfillment and their dissatisfaction and discontent. And you came in there. It's like none of them ever had anything really nice ever happen to them. You walked in and you said, I've come in the name of the Lord. And when you said that, the lights went on. And you said, I want to tell you about good news that'll take every chain off your soul and set you free. And just then the chains came off. And you led them on into salvation. And you said, if you put up your hands in respect to him, in awe of him, and in submission to him, he'll fill you with the Spirit. And the Lord came down and filled him with the Spirit. And the word I got on her name is Bobby?
Dottie.
The word I got on Dottie is that she's going to be a joy bringer to people who have never had anything nice ever happen to them. And it's Isaiah 61:3. The young lady will say to you, you know, I got married and I gave it my best shot and all my hopes went up in smoke and now I'm sitting here in bitterness with nothing but a pile of ashes. And your word is going to, well, hey, the Lord gives beauty for ashes. And he gives the oil of joy for mourning. And he gives the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the Lord just gave me word that you're going to be a joy bringer. Wouldn't that be wonderful for us to go through life just bringing joy to people, especially people that don't have anything going for them? And the people you minister to are going to say this, Psalms 30, verse number 11 and 12, you've turned my mourning and weeping into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that I may sing praise and give glory to the Lord, not be silent. Lord, I'm going to give thanks to you. And Psalms 107 says that he brings his chosen people out with gladness. Okay, Psalms 105, verse number 43, he brought forth his people with joy, with gladness, and the Lord gave me word that you're even going to minister to religious people who have a form of godliness, but they don't have the life of the Spirit, and they don't have the joy of the Lord. And he gave me a picture of you going into very formal churches and bringing the good news to those people, and a joy bringer. In Isaiah 58:12, they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. You're going to raise up the foundations of many generations. You're going to be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. And don't say no if you get a call from the First Church of the Frigidaire. And they just say, we want you. And go down there and just bring the fire of the Holy Ghost and melt the icicles and warm the people up and get those frozen chosen on fire for God. You're going to be a joy bringer. That's a wonderful... I need to tell you something. Yours is an unfulfilled task. There are things yet to be done in your life. And Haggai 2:9 says, the glory of God in your last days will exceed the glory of God in your first days. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Irma, do you have somebody? Okay, let's have him stand up. But I want to minister to him separately. Young man, tell me your name. Jonathan, and your brother's name? Benjamin. Which one's the oldest? I'll start with Benjamin. And then we'll get to Jonathan. Benjamin, Isaiah 45:2-3, it says, the Lord's going to go before you, make their crooked places straight, break in sunder gates of brass, break in pieces bars of iron, and give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of the secret places. The Lord showed me that not only has he got his hand on you, but he's already preparing the way for you, so that when you are ready to step into the arena, and God has got you conditioned and trained and prepared, the people will be ready and waiting for you. Isaiah 52:12, you'll not go out with guilty fear or nervous compulsion, because God's going to go ahead of you and he's going to stand behind you. So the beautiful thing is, everywhere you go, you're going to feel there's a momentum carrying you along. Isaiah 55:12, Benjamin, you'll go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. The mountains will break forth into singing before you, and trees of the field will clap their hands. Mountains and trees. I don't know where he's going, but I know it's not West Texas. Hallelujah. So the first two letters in the word gospel are G-O. You take go out of the gospel and you're just going to stand around and have a spell. But we're not going to stand around and have a spell. We're going to go with the gospel. Jonathan, Isaiah 30:21, he's going to give you guidance. Job 33:14-16, he's going to give you instruction. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord's going to guide you continually. And Isaiah 8:20, your guidance is going to come two ways. And this is our safeguard, because the Bible says in the mouth of two witnesses, every word is established. The two witnesses the Lord gives us for direction, so that we're going in the right direction. Just a minute, I have to pull a page apart here. It's found in Isaiah 8:20, and it says here that it's by the word and by the spirit. We're led by the Word, and we're led by the Spirit. The people that make mistakes because they impulsively go on an impression, and they don't wait for a confirmation. All guidance needs confirmation. And if something says, do it now, you're going to mess it up bad. Because the Lord doesn't say, do it now. In fact, he says, he that believeth shall make, shall not make haste. And plus, he says, he says, come now and let us reason together. And you can avoid a lot of mistakes in life by refusing to go on an impulse and just say, well, I need another confirmation. That's not doubt. That's wisdom. The Lord's going to give you two confirmations. And it's Proverbs 1:23, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you. I'm going to make known my words to you. Isaiah 59:21, I'm going to put my word in you, and I'm going to put my Spirit in your life. And John 6:63 said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit, they are life. And Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Acts 10:44, while Peter spoke the word, the Holy Spirit followed. So I want everybody to say to Benjamin and Jonathan, you two men are going to be full of the Spirit. You're going to be full of the Word. And it's going to be balanced. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Couple right here. Would you stand up? Tell me your name, sir. And your wife's name? Joe and Judy. I got four verses for Joe and Judy on people coming to them for ministry. John 12:32 said, I'm going to be lifted up in your marriage and in your conduct and in your lifestyle and in your home. I'm just going to be lifted up in your neighborhood. Proverbs 3:33, because there's a special blessing on your home, and it says, I'll draw people to you. Do you ever wonder how the animals got to the ark? The animals got the ark because they were drawn by the Holy Spirit. If brute animals could be drawn by the Holy Spirit, people can be drawn by the Holy Spirit. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh comes. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And Christ is enthroned in your hearts and in your home. And it's going to result in people gathering to you. Ma'am, you better get Betty Crocker's book out on how to make chocolate chip cookies, because you're going to do a lot of entertaining. Listen to Psalms 142:7. Every day the Holy Spirit will give you a new refilling and a new infilling. Every day the Holy Spirit's going to give you a new refreshing. And it says people will compass you about. And there's 360 points on the compass. So that means they're just going to come in from everywhere. I want you to know that Job 11:18-19 says your home is going to be filled with love. It's going to be filled with laughter. It's going to be filled with light. It's going to be filled with the Lord. And how many of you want that for your home? Just say, hey, I'll take that. And it says in the Good News Bible and the Berkeley Bible and the Living Bible, listen to this, and many shall come to your home looking for help. And I just got good news for you people. You're not going to have to go looking for people. They're going to come looking for you. And the Lord is going to use your marriage as a tool for evangelism. I want to tell you about your home. Proverbs 3:33, every one of us can claim it. There's a cloud of glory over your home. Isaiah 4:5, King James. There's a cloud of glory over your home that's like a canopy. Proverbs says it's a blessing. It is sending a beacon signal to everybody in your neighborhood. This is a palace. There's a king resident here. His name is Jesus. When your little world caves in on you, you come over and knock on our door, and we'll introduce you to our friend. That's the thing that's going to happen to your home. It's going to be a missionary outpost to a subdivision. It's going to be an evangelistic center to a neighborhood. It's going to be a halfway house between the non-Christian world and the Christian church. You're not going to be invaded, and you're not going to have people coming in like relatives that come
Easter week and stay till Thanksgiving. That's not going to happen to you people. But I've got good news. The Holy Spirit's going to use your marriage as a tool for evangelism. How many of you say, I'll take that? Okay, Glenn, who is it? Yeah, and I want his wife to come up here, too. Could you come on up here and let me minister to you? I want to describe and interpret the last 3.5 years of your life. Philippians 1:12 says the things that have happened to you have happened for the furtherance of your faith. Mm-hmm. Satan's had the big artillery aimed right at you guys, trying to blow you right out of the ballpark, right out of the water. And Philippians 1:12 says God beat the devil at his own game, mm-hmm. and have given you a confidence that you didn't have before, a determination, and also a wholesome curiosity to find out God's path for the future. Exodus 1:12 says they were making progress, and an enemy came to block their progress. An enemy came to fight them, but listen closely. The more that enemy fought them, the stronger they became, and the more their faith multiplied and grew. Your faith is stronger than it was 3.5 years ago. You're closer to the Lord, and can I tell you, you're closer to each other. Because there were some people who had designing plans on getting a wedge between you people and separating you, and you are welded and melded and cemented. And God beat the devil at his own game. Psalm 66:12. I want to talk to you about a relationship 2 years ago that turned out to be very painful. Somebody who nearly 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, made some real promises to you, never kept their promises. And about 2 years ago, you realized it was not going to happen. And it's consumed your time. It's consumed your energy. It's used up cash, and it's kept you from going full strength at what you're supposed to be doing. And somebody was just all blow and no go. But Genesis 50:20, Joseph said to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil. But as for God, he's going to turn it into good. I want to tell you something. That experience, as painful as it is nothing more than a springboard to a higher level of proficiency. I want to tell you something else. Psalm 66:12 says men have gone right over the top of our heads trying to bury us alive. We've been through the fire, we've been through the flood, but now the Lord's bringing us out. The King James says bringing you out to a wealthy place. And the New International Version says a place of abundant moisture. And the New Century Bible says he's bringing you to a place of larger blessings. And I want to tell you something. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says there's things in life that offset each other. I want to say it to everybody in the place. Joseph had 7 lean years and 7 years of plenty, conversely. And Elijah had 3.5 years of drought, 3.5 years of rain. And Ecclesiastes 7:14, for this couple and everybody else here that wants to see things turn around for you, Ecclesiastes 7:14 is for this couple right here as far as the financial release. It says, the day of adversity, the day of affliction has ended. The day of prosperity has begun. Affliction and adversity has bottomed out. Prosperity and blessing has been released, and this is turnaround time. Hallelujah! This is your turnaround time. I want to explain the last 4.5 years. It wasn't punishment. It wasn't chastisement. He wasn't angry with you. He wasn't mad at you. He wasn't spanking you. And you were not out of his will. There's only one word that explains 42 months of being under the gun. And that word is to give you credibility with the hurting people. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says the God of all comfort will comfort you in every area of your total personality, so that you in turn can comfort others who are hurting and who are in trouble with the same comfort that you're comforted of. The God of all comfort will comfort you so that you in turn can comfort others. Ezekiel 3:15 says, I came to people who were sitting in total bondage, and I sat where they sat. And the word I get is that you're going to minister to the Humpty Dumpties that sat on the wall, and the Humpty Dumpties that had the great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men, and all the king's psychiatrists couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But you know what the good news is? Jesus puts people back together again. And you folks are going to meet a mass of people out there that aren't serving the Lord, and they're wounded, hurting, and injured, and they're saying two things. They're saying, nobody understands what I'm going through. Furthermore, nobody even cares. And you're going to say to them, I understand what you're going through. I care. I've been there, man. Mm-hmm. You're going to sing Hank Snow's song, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. These two people here have gone through things that the Hallmark card company does not have a card to cover what they've been through. Just want you to know that. It wasn't punishment. It wasn't anger. He went out of his will. He doesn't have a rating system, an in crowd, an out crowd, the attained, the unattained, the haves, the have-nots. He just wanted you to taste a bitter cup that will qualify you to minister to the Humpty Dumpties. And now, I want everybody to help me prophesy over this couple. Psalms 90, verse number 15. I want you to say it with me. For every bad day you've had in the past, you're going to have a beautiful day in the future. For every miserable month you've had in the past, you're going to have a miracle month in the future. For every traumatized year you've had, you're going to have a triumphant year. Isn't that a good word? How many of you say, hey, I'll take that? Isn't that neat? Yeah. Could you give her a microphone? And she has something to say. Could you give her a microphone here? And I want you to hear what the lady has to say. Thank you. Go ahead and turn around and just face the people there.
I met the girl from Alaska. I think it was 78 or 79. I can't remember exactly the year. But John wasn't saved at the time. And he gave me a scripture where it was, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And I went to that scripture so many times, but about John, he almost died in that process before he came to the Lord. He had an aneurysm burst in his head. The Lord brought him through it through miraculous times and prayers and anointing and so on. But all the things that he's talked about, we have gone through since we came to Illinois. We went straight into warfare. We had never been taught of warfare. And we've been in a warfare in Illinois. But every time I go back to that scripture, about cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And I just praise God for this servant of God here.
Without sounding too academic, you have to realize that I'm an adjunct professor in about 11 schools of the Bible all over the world. In fact, I'm going to New Orleans and teach Greek and Hebrew in a Victory Church down there, Jubilee Church, for 5 nights. And I think sometimes you'd really enjoy sitting in our vocabulary classes, because we take words and just make them come alive. We just do it. Without sounding too much like academia, I want to do a rundown on casting all your cares on him. He cares for you. The first word, it's two different Greek words. The first word is merimnao. It's spelled M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O, and it means stresses, tensions, pressures, and distractions. How many of you know what distractions are? You start at 8 o'clock and you got a plan for the day,
and you fall in bed at 11 that night, look back over, and there wasn't one thing on your schedule that you, those are what you call distractions. In California, they would drive down the freeway and say, I don't even know where I'm supposed to be, but I'm an hour late already, wherever it is, you know. So I want you to know, casting all your distractions. Now, let me tell you about the second care. It's a beautiful word. It's a father and son, filial affection. It's a father and daughter, filial affection, where the father says, I want the best for you. I want to protect you. I want to keep you safe. I don't want to expose you to hazards. I want to watch over you. I want you to develop, but I want to make sure that you realize that the things I'm doing in your life are because of my parental care for you. And like the teenagers say to their mothers and fathers when they put on a curfew, don't you trust me? And I was at home when they tried that, and the father says, no, I don't. Because you haven't earned this. As soon as you earn it, we'll do it, you know. So the first care is casting all your distractions on the Lord. And the second one is because he is fatherly, father. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Say it with me. Casting all your distractions on you. Because he is fatherly fond of you. Father's not going to let his kid go out there and play with rattlesnakes. So he's fatherly fond. I got a word for this couple right here. Would you folks come up? I got the best news in the world for you people. Matthew 13:12. To him that has, it shall be given. And he'll have more in abundance. I want to give that to these pastors here. And I want to give it to Jack. I want to give it to the Millers. To him that has, it shall be given. And he'll have more. Matthew 25:29. To him that hath, it shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. Habakkuk 2:1 and 2:2. Stand at your post of duty. Keep on doing what you're doing, because you're doing it right. Keep on doing what you do best. Go with what you've got going for you, and the Lord's going to meet you right in the line of fire. You know when you prayed, sensitize Dick Mills, the Lord immediately in spirit drew me to this couple and said, because of their faithfulness, I'm going to expand their sphere of influence. And they're going to cooperate with me on ministry expansion. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, you're going to lengthen your cords. You're going to strengthen your stakes. You're going to stretch forth the curtain of your habitation, and you're going to enlarge your borders. I was telling Irma this morning, I don't know, half a dozen places in the United States where people can go for deliverance. In a theologically or denominationally or an interdenominational setting, you know, in what you call a neutral setting. Man, there must be a lot of them, but I travel a lot. I just appreciate people that have these kind of ministries that can set people free. Because I get calls from people and they'll say, can you recommend a church in my vicinity where they can help me with deliverance? And I'm scratching my head and traveling full time, and there's not too many of them. But don't you appreciate a place like this where people can come for deliverance? Don't you appreciate people like this that will spend their lifetime doing this? I feel like I deliver people with words, but there's a lot of other ways of getting delivered, you know. Everybody said, go with what you've got going for you. Do what you do best. And the other word is, keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing it right. The way they say it in Tennessee is, you got to dance with the one that brought you. So, everybody help me prophesy over him. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Stretch forth the curtain of your habitation. Enlarge your borders. You're going to break out on the left hand and on the right. I want you to just say to this couple, you're breaking out all over. It's going to spread like the measles. I had a friend that was an evangelist. He was very controversial. And Tuesday night, he gets a call. 2 o'clock in the morning, Ramada Inn, Houston, Texas. And the person says, I listened to you Sunday night, and I didn't believe in you. I listened to you Monday night, and I still didn't believe in you. But I listened to you tonight, and something happened. I believe in you. And I want to know, do you have a word for me? 2 o'clock in the morning, right out of a sound sleep, the evangelist said, yes, go back to bed. I want everybody in this row to stand up right here. Everybody. Now, let me tell you, remember when the angel troubled the waters? First one in gets a touch. Well, the angel just troubled the waters. This is Prosperity Row. There's two empty seats for two people that are ambitious enough to get out of their seats and come and fill those two seats. You know, okay, here's one right here. And there's the other one right there. I knew somebody would respond. Okay, let her in. 88 scriptures. 88 scriptures have the word prosperity in it. And they're all conditioned on seeking the Lord. And I want you to know that because of the controversy that's gone on about the message, I did a critique on the word poverty to see if there's any redemptive value in poverty. Derek Prince says it's no sin to be broke, but it's terribly inconvenient. And if you look through the book of Proverbs, you'll find that poverty is associated with going with the wrong people, being lazy, neglecting the house of God, failing to read the Word, trying to win the lottery and win the sweepstakes, trying to get rich quick, and falling in with people that have murder and violence in their heart. Everything on poverty was for wrong living, wrong confession, and wrong attitude. But there are 88 scriptures that have the word prosperity in it. And there's 88 notes on that piano. Every note on the piano is a prosperity note. Now, I need to explain the difference between prosperity and materialism. Materialism is the world system based on covetousness and greed. And the Bible tells us that covetousness is idolatry. And the theologians, idolatry is an exalted form of self-love. A man bowing to an idol is actually bowing to himself. So covetousness is selfish. And it's very similar to the Dead Sea. The water flows in, and it's repugnant, 28% salt, no vegetation, no picnics, no life, doesn't even smell good. It's not even an attractive place. And covetousness and greed and materialism are like the Dead Sea. And the thing that makes the Dead Sea bad news is it has no outlet. But you know where everybody goes in Israel? They go to the Sea of Galilee. There's a freshness there. There's vegetation. There's fish. There's life. There's picnicking. There's family. There's water skiing. There's swimming. And the thing about the Sea of Galilee that's attractive, the water flows in, flows through, flows out. God prospers people to be a channel of blessing. I have never met one Christian that ever wanted to prosper to heap it on their lust. But I've met a lot of Christians that want to prosper so they can support the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, when somebody comes to you, I'm not interested in prosperity. I just want to get enough to feed my family, pay my bills, and keep gas in the car. When they say, I don't want to prosper, I just want enough to get by, that is one of the most selfish things a person could say. Because they're telling you, I'm not interested in those missionaries out there. I'm not interested in those Bible translators. I'm not interested in feeding the hungry. I'm not interested in missionary outreach. I'm not interested in Christian television. I don't want to support anybody. I just want to have enough to put food on my table. That is selfish. I want to prosper because I want to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. Now, I want to give you, there's 88 of them, I want to give you six conditional if verses. And everybody help me say these. Proverbs 6:33. Because last night he said to me, this morning, Dick, I'm going to show you which row is prosperity row. And he said, I want you to pour it on. So I was ministering in here, and he says, row four. If there's any of you that are anti-prosperity, you've already taken poverty vows, you don't want to get messed up with God's blessings, I want you to step out of that row, because we got 50 other people that will take your place fast, you know. So if you're against it, please don't stand there and suffer while I pour this out on you. Listen, everybody said with me, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And I want you to say it, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say it with me. Satan subtracts. Jesus adds. Satan divides. Jesus multiplies. Okay, I'll say the other five. Joshua 1:8. If you'll meditate in the word of the Lord and observe to do what is written therein, you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. Listen to 2 Chronicles 20:20. If you believe the Lord, you'll be established. If you believe his prophet, you're going to prosper. Listen to 2 Chronicles 26:5. As long as you seek the Lord, he's going to make you to prosper. Listen to 2 Chronicles 31:21. If you're going to serve the Lord, serve him with all your heart. And whatever you set your hand to do, you're going to prosper. And for any of you that are gun-shy about the message, can I tell you, we're not taking an offering right now. Well, and there's people back there grabbing their wallets like we're going to start an offering in a minute. Hey. Yeah. Okay. Hey, chill out, gang. This is not offering time. It comes later. Okay, listen to this. It's beautiful. Job 36:10-11. It is beautiful. Listen to this. All you have to do is trust and obey. Say it. All you have to do is trust and obey. And it says, if you'll do this, say it. If you'll do this, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in joyful pleasures. I want everybody to point to these people and say, you've got the keys to Fort Knox. I want all of you to turn around and face the audience because they're going to address you right now. Would you turn around and face the audience? Okay, just turn around. I want all of you to just reach up to them and just say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay. Everybody standing up, we got a goodbye word for it just before we go in for vittles. You know, when I said that we can't tell you how much time elapses between the time you get a promise and it's fulfilled, I had one case where it was fulfilled right on the spot, to my embarrassment. I was in an audience, and I saw a man in a gray suit, and the Lord gave me this order. He gave me this perception. And we know in part, and we prophesy in part. The man was conscientious. He was loyal. He was deserving of a promotion. He should have had it last July, but the boss diverted the promotion from him. We'd entitled to it and give it to a friend of the boss's. So I stood the man up, and I gave him all these promotional scriptures. Then I started telling him about the boss. Should have had the promotion. Should have been last July. Gave it to a friend. And I didn't know it, but his boss was sitting right next to him in church. Non-Christian. This guy had worked for 3 years to get into church, and the boss finally shows up. The boss pulls his coat down and says, "Did you set me up for this? If you tip this guy off?" And the man sheepishly says, "I never seen this guy before in my life." And the guy, I'm watching this, and the guy is pointing to his boss, and I look down there, and his face is red. And all of a sudden, a word came to me, the hoof and mouth disease. You open your mouth right and you put your hoof in it. They've got a new peppermint-flavored shoe leather for people who always put their foot in their mouth, you know. And you know what? The boss says to him, "Did you set me up for this?" And he said, "No." He said, "Look, you've got the promotion. Get this guy off my back." So the guy waves to me and points to the boss and says, "It's happened." And later I found out about it, you know. That was an instantaneous answer. I really have a high-risk job. I want you to know that. I want to give you all a good word for 1990. This is 91. This is going to take you through the year. And I want to give you all a good word for 1991. Take you right up to January 1st. And by next year, Lord will have another good word for you. It's Isaiah 48:15, and it's from the New International Version. And here's what it says. "I spoke to you, and then I called you, and then I've been bringing you along." Okay, those three things have already happened. Now he says, "You will succeed in your mission." And I want to tell you something. Everybody has a mission. It's special. I don't believe this jazz that if you don't do it, God will raise up somebody else. I know it's going to be done. But there are things that you're going to do in this world that really nobody else can do. You know, Catherine Kuhlman used to say, "I had a tough time with it. God called a man. He didn't go, so he called me." I don't believe that. I believe God called Catherine Kuhlman. I believe he called the man too. But I want you to know that you have a special mission, and nobody else in this world can do it but you. And you've got to see it through. And you're going to succeed in it. So let's take Isaiah 48:15, New International Version. Say it with me. "I spoke to you. Then I called you. Now I've been bringing you along. And I want you to say it. You'll succeed in your mission." King James says, "You'll make your way prosperous." Let's say it from that one, Isaiah 58:15. "I spoke to you. I called you. I've been bringing you along. And I want you to hold your Bible up and say, he's going to make my way prosperous." I want every man in the place to get his wallet out. I want every lady in the place to get your coin purse out. We're going to claim prosperity for the rest of the year for you to get your bills paid, get out of debt, and not leave any money for the Antichrist when he shows up. All right. Ladies, get your coin purses out. Men, get your wallets. I used to ask the ladies to hold their purses up, and Joel, I looked in one day, and that was a shocker. I don't know if you guys have ever looked inside a woman's purse, but it's very revealing. There's a half a hamburger from Bob's Big Boy in there, you know. Pair of pantyhose and a love letter she got in the fourth grade that she still keeps, you know. Hey, listen, hold the Bible up in your right hand and hold your wallets and coin purses up in your left hand. And we'll take it from the King James. Say these words, Isaiah 48:15. Say these words. "He spoke to me.
He called me.
He's bringing me along. He's going to make my way prosperous. I'm going to be full of the Word. I'm going to be full of the Spirit. And I'm going to be full with the blessings." Let's drive those poverty demons all the way back to Salt Lake City. Hallelujah. Okay. Time for lunch. Don't forget the book table back there.
Be glory and honor and praise. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory, let there be honor.
begin to worship Him in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory.
This is the day of new beginnings. This is the day of the new thing. This is the day that I promised you in my word when I said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I'm doing a new thing. This is your new day. It's a day of newness of spirit, newness even in your flesh because of the energy the Lord shall give you, a new stamina, a new courage, a new empowerment, a new anointing, a new vision, a new authority. You're not going to walk in the oldness of the letter and in the weakness of the flesh, but you're going to walk in the vitality and the newness of the Spirit. This is your new day, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, we bless the Lord, we bless the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's a promise for every one of us this morning. It's a cause for rejoicing, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, the cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Let your spirit arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together. As we follow where He leads, new life we will receive. Move with the cloud.
I can tell that this is a new song for many of you this morning, so for you in the back that can't see the words, this is the way it goes. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Let your spirit arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move all together. As we follow where He leads, it's a new day for us. As we follow where He leads, new life we will receive. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory.
Spirit arise and your strength be renewed. Come, let us move
This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.